Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, The Victory of Hiranyaksha, Text Number 20. Hiranyaksha nujastasya priyak priti krit anvaham Kadapanir divam yato Yuyutsur mrigayan rama ranam Hiranyaksha Hiranyaksha Anuja younger brother Tasya his Priyaha beloved Pritikrit, ready to please. Anuaham, every day. Kadapani, with a club in hand. Divam, to the higher planets. Yataha, traveled. Yutsu, desirous to fight. Mrigayan, seeking. Ranam, combat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. His younger brother, Hiranyaksha, was always ready to satisfy his elder brother by his activities. Hiranyaksha took a club on his shoulder and traveled all over the universe with a fighting spirit just to satisfy Hiranyakashipu. Please repeat. His younger brother, Hiranyaksha, was always ready to satisfy his elder brother by his activities. Hiranyaksha took a club on his shoulder and traveled all over the universe with a fighting spirit just to satisfy Hiranyakashipu. Purport. The demoniac spirit is to train all family members to exploit the resources of this universe for personal sense gratification. Whereas the godly spirit is to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu was himself very powerful, and he made his younger brother, Hiranyaksha, powerful to assist him in fighting with everyone and lording it over material nature as long as possible. If possible, he wanted to rule the universe eternally. These are demonstrations of the spirit of the demoniac living entity. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Satarane. In this verse, training is emphasized that either we're going to be trained materially or we'll be trained spiritually. If we're trained materially, then to one extent or another, we'll be trained how to control the material nature for our personal or extended happiness. There are three modes of nature. And according to the mode of nature one is trained in, one has more or less an ability to control the material nature and to more or less an ability in order to take some kind of satisfaction from the results of controlling material energy. Of course, Krishna says, Trigunya Vishayam Veda, Nice Trigunya Bhavarjuna, Nidvanvo Nitya Sattvisto, Nir Yoga Shema Atmavan. That Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Generally, the Vedas, they give us instructions according to our particular position, how to better control the material energy, how to have mystic powers, if you're so desirous of going through austerities for 10,000 years, or having a nice family life, or having a nice education, how to properly do one's duty in the Varna and Ashram system, so that one can live peacefully, relatively peacefully, and happily in the material energy. But Krishna doesn't advise that. He says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, nice Trigunya Bhavarjana. He wants us to be established in our spiritual identity. That is, every living entity is a spiritual soul, and any association with material energy and material consciousness is simply a limitation for the soul's abilities, and it's a inconvenience and a misery. It creates miseries for the living entity. Nirdvandva nitya sattvasto. Try to become beyond the dualities of material existence. Generally, we're motivated by the dualities in our activities. If it's hot, we want to become cooler. If it's cooler, we want to become hotter. If we see a woman, we become attracted. If we're a man, and if we're a woman, we become attracted if we see a man. Or, Kali, anything's possible. In any case, there are so many dualities in material existence, and the real duality, the ultimate duality everyone's fighting against is life and death. Everyone is worried about they're going to die, as the principal worry of the material energy. And since everyone dies, there shouldn't be really anything to worry about, because it's inevitable. Why worry about something that's inevitable? And Prabhupada was walking in Mayapur in 1976, and he mentioned that this whole civilization, which is meant to keep people in darkness, will soon come to an end with the next war. And everyone was shocked, the next war. And then Prabhupada said, that war is coming very, very soon. And everyone was even more shocked. And then he explained how it was all going to start and who the combatants would be, etc., etc. And then everyone was quite disturbed. What should we do, Prabhupada? Chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, either you die today, you die in 20 years from now. What's the really big difference? Death is inevitable. Of course, for our conception, 20 years, well, that's far in the future. Although 1 second of Brahma's life is 96,000 of our years, so for Brahma, our 20 years doesn't have any significance. And for Mahavishnu, the life of Brahma, which is only his exhalation, has no significance either. So what to speak of our 20 years in the life of Mahavishnu? We're already in our next body, as far as Mahavishnu goes. We're in our next million bodies, practically speaking. In any case, this idea that I must survive here in the material energy and then my life will be successful is simply another product of illusion. Actually, one is supposed to be trained up so that one can live forever. That's actual proper utilization. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, nice Trigunya Bhavarjana. Become transcendental. Revive our spiritual consciousness. That's what training is meant for. When Vishwamitra Muni came to take Lord Ramachandra and his brother Lakshman to fight against Marichi and the other demons, then as soon as the king saw Vishwamitra Muni, he asked him, how is your progress in overcoming death coming? And Prabhupada said, you greet people according to their situation. And for a sage, his purpose in life is to overcome death. Of course, people don't believe they can overcome death because they think they're their body. They don't understand overcoming death is to acquire knowledge. And knowledge is possible to acquire if we learn the art of hearing. The problem is that we think, number one, there may be many problems, but one problem that blocks our ability to hear is we think we know everything already. There's nothing to learn. We heard it all, although we haven't heard anything. So because we are puffed up with our tiny accumulated knowledge that we think we have, although we don't actually know who we are, we don't even know who we're not, namely we're not this body. Although theoretically we've heard it millions of times, or at least thousands of times, that our body's changing, but we're not changing. And we can understand that, yes, I'm the same soul. But still, we don't really accept it. We don't apply it within our lives completely, and therefore we only have our experience of that to some degree. One time I was distributing a book in a school, this is many years ago, and one student came up, and I showed him the book, and I showed him the changing bodies, the bodies changing. And I said, which body do you have? He took a look at the picture, and he said, oh, I have that body. He said, wow, that's fantastic. Now I understand I'm not the body. That's great. I said, well, why don't you take the book and give a donation? He said, no, I'm not interested in your book, but thanks a lot for the information. Then he shook my hand and ran away. So we think we know something, we've learned something, but actually Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. Even we come to Brahma Bhuta stage from some training, and that elaborate training is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Buddhya Vishuddhya Yukto Jitatmana Nyamya Cha Shabda Din Vishyan Tyaktva Ragadvesha Nimasya Cha Vivakta Desha Lagvasi Yata Vagkaya Manasa Dhyana Yoga Pro Nityam Vairagi Samupasyate. And that's only after getting trained how to work in the mode of goodness, gain knowledge in the mode of goodness, have determination in the mode of goodness, then one can have to become purified by one's intelligence, control the mind with determination, etc., etc. Then Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Then one can actually give up hankering, lamentation, and remain jolly all the time, joyful. The fact that we're eternal, that we're not going to die. We have nothing to fear. Everyone is afflicted by bhayam, by fear in the material world. And everyone's trying to overcome the fear. And what do they have for overcoming our fear? Don't worry, your cricket team will win. Oh, wow. I was so afraid. Don't worry, your favorite movie will be showing soon. Don't worry, we're coming out with iPad 5 or iPhone 8. All your worries will go away. That's the solution. We're opening up another hospital and we have new medicine for you. And we have a new operation. Before we can cut out, we were transplanting livers and kidneys, and now we're transplanting brains. So since you have no brains, we'll give you a new one. So people are fearful, and modern society is coming up with so many different remedies for their fear. But Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're saying, actually, if we want to overcome fear, we have to overcome death, our identification with this body. We have to become trained. But because we're puffed up, who can train us? We read the scriptures, we don't memorize them. We don't take it so seriously. I have to learn this. I might die. I have to become absorbed in this knowledge. No, we read it, and after hearing it, we can't remember even which book we read. We have to consider back. Oh, I just studied for 3 hours. I wonder which book I read. Because we don't take it so seriously. We hear a class, we walk out. Well, was it a good class? Yes, he told a few jokes, we laughed. What was it about? I have no idea. Maybe they recorded it. Maybe next year I'll listen to it again. No, we actually take it seriously, then we'll actually absorb our consciousness in it. We'll apply it within our lives. And what will be the result? What are we looking for? An extra check on our report card? A little bit more money in our bank? Our name is glorified in the three zones? No, it's the ability to hear better. The enthusiasm to hear. Could you imagine having a class and there were gopis there? And Radharani speaking and all the gopis fall asleep? No, the enthusiasm, the anxiety to hear Shushusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. To hear very nicely, apply it within our lives. This interest, this enthusiasm, this taste for hearing. But we can't have the taste as long as we think we know it already. We've already understood it. Better than the speaker, better than probably anyone. And therefore, the lack of submission. Submissive hearing with the idea of service. Submission is not simply I'm submissive, but the enthusiasm to apply what we've heard in our daily experience. To train, that's the whole training. Of course, submission is there at first because especially in modern society, whatever so-called culture we're coming from, we're taught how to be rebellious. We analyze the speaker generally for all the faults he has or she has. Not only the speaker of the Bhagavatam class or the Bhagavad Gita, not even the speaker. Everyone who talks to us, we're analyzing why I don't have to listen to them. Why I don't have to follow them. It usually begins in childhood. As soon as a mother says something, the answer is no. Why not? Because. Causes unwillingness. Well, I'll give you this. I'll give you a lollipop. Okay. As long as I get my reward, I'm submissive. Therefore, if we have to be trained to see the good qualities. Krishneti yasya kiritam manastadriyeta dikshasti chat praniti tabish tabish chaniti tabish, yes? Shushushaya bhajna ananya anya indati sunya ridayam isita sangalabhya. We have to put aside this criticism if we want to develop bhakti, because bhakti means love. Our first tendency is analyze the situation so we can find out why we don't have to love it. Love the person, at least. Especially if they're telling us to do something we don't want to do, and no one came to the material world to surrender to Krishna. Everyone came here to get away from Krishna, to forget Krishna. And therefore, the worst thing we could possibly hear is that we're not God. And we're never going to become God. It's bad enough not being God, that we can more or less accept. But when they include within the equation, we're never going to become God, that's too much to take. Not only we're not going to become the supreme God, all right, I wasn't expecting to rule the universe anytime soon, but even within our household life, even with our daily activities, we're not God. We're being controlled by the modes of nature. This is very disturbing to the conditioned soul who wants a little space to become, to be this, the center of attention, to be the object of someone's adoration at least. I need someone to adore me. But who is this me? Is it myself as a soul? No, I don't even know who I am. I want someone to adore my material body, my concept of life, my feelings of things. I want some adoration. I want some profit. I want some distinction from my false conception. Ultimately, I'm serving my false ego in the material world. And to find out, whatever I do here outside of Krishna consciousness is just a waste of time. Is very disturbing for most conditioned souls. Therefore, the best thing to do, for the easiest thing to do, is just to fall asleep during class, especially. That way, you don't have to worry about all this philosophy, this dry philosophy about Krishna being God and we're not God. We heard it a million times. We didn't accept it a million times, and we're not going to accept it this time either. Good night. Wake me up when the class is done for prasadam. Do something practical. Therefore, the first training is submission, and therefore all the etiquette, guru, disciple, shiksha guru, diksha guru, the speaker sits on a higher chair, he has a microphone, etc. It's all etiquette to help us hear better. It's not so that no one can speak unless he's on the same level, or that unless you have a title, you have nothing to say. No, it's all to help us so that we can hear more submissively, that we can take more seriously. And the training begins that there are six loving exchanges. That if we want to develop our bhakti, it's in the association of devotees, and we have to learn how to exchange six loving exchanges. Offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, giving gifts of Krishna consciousness to others, and accepting Krishna conscious gifts. These are loving exchanges, and they have to be appropriately reciprocated. Therefore, for those who are chanting Hare Krishna, we respect them within our minds. That's the training. That takes a lot of training. Our first tendency of conditioned souls is to start criticizing, even when it's unnecessary and unproductive. But we have to tolerate that urge to criticize, and instead simply respect them. They're chanting Hare Krishna, but if they're not following strictly or they're not serious about Krishna consciousness, don't associate with them. Don't waste our time criticizing them, and don't waste our time associating with them. And for those who are neophytes, Baleshu, then try to help them if they're willing to accept help, to train them. Our movement is actually training. It's training, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Yari Deka Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amar Agai Guruhana Taridesh. Whoever we meet, we're supposed to help them become Krishna conscious. Train them by telling them about Krishna, or train them by showing submissiveness, by showing the attitude of a servant. Training just doesn't mean that I tell you what to do and I'm training you because I know everything. No, also we train people by showing ourselves to be a servant of the servant. But whoever we meet, in any circumstance, then we're supposed to help others become conscious of Krishna. And that's a 24-hour-a-day service. It's not just on street Sankirtan or in Harinam, or it's every time, every place. Then we can make some progress towards actually understanding what our mission is here, or what our purpose of existence is. In the spiritual world, the training goes on too. It's not that when we get to the spiritual world, we know it all. No one can tell me anything. Maybe Radharani once in a while. No, the training goes on there. I was reading a story about Arjuna. One time Arjuna, he wanted to find out what Madhurya Rasa was like, to give a short story about it. It's in Shiva Maharaj's book, Mahima Vrindavan, I forget the full name. And Arjuna, Krishna didn't answer, he's very grave. So Arjuna was a little doubtful, but still he asked again. And finally Krishna said, all right, if you want to understand Madhurya Rasa, you have to enter into that rasa. Therefore, you go to this place and you have to satisfy the devotee who's there, who allows you entrance into Vrindavan. And he went there, he did the austerities required of him. This particular lady allowed him to enter, and then he was given a particular place, not exactly where Krishna, in the Rasa stall or any place near, but he was given a particular place, and then he was given a gopi guru, one of Radharani's personal associates, and for a long time he was being trained. And finally he had to go to a lake, and there he had to bathe, and he got a gopi form. And then he got further training, how to please Krishna. And after a long time, who knows how long, finally he was allowed to come into the association of Radha and Krishna. And then the story goes on, and he had some pastime with Krishna. And then he was taken back to the lake, he was bathed again, and then he got back to his form of Arjuna. He couldn't forget that sweetness of that relationship he had with Krishna as a gopi. So, although he was brought back to his relation with his Sakya Rasa with Krishna in friendship, still his mood is always flavored also with somewhat of that remembrance. And that remembrance, that is not just remembrance, Arjuna exists eternally in his form as a gopi, Arjuna. And therefore it says that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then Arjuna, he also came in the form of Ramananda Roy, in the combined form of Lalita Sakhi and Arjuna, who is Ramananda Roy, and carrying that same mood of also Arjuna. So these are all inconceivable, but my point is not to bewilder us any more than we bewilder about these things, but to explain that even in the spiritual world, training is going on constantly. Everyone is in the mood of being trained. No one is in the mood that I know everything. Otherwise, it would be very boring there. It's routine. It's always exciting. There's something new to learn. So we don't have that excitement here, and we don't have that enthusiasm to learn, then we're not going to go anywhere. That we can't learn from others, for instance, someone is chanting Hare Krishna, to respect them within our mind, that's great learning. Then we'll be able to appreciate how powerful Krishna is, because Krishna is name and non-different. This person is directly associated with Krishna through chanting Hare Krishna, and yet I'm criticizing them. Why am I wasting my time? I should appreciate the fact that they're reviving their eternal relationship with Krishna. And that everyone has an eternal relationship with Krishna, and my business is to appreciate it. And train up those who are Balisheshu, who want training, and I can help advance in Krishna consciousness, whatever I know, and cooperate with the devotees to spread the Hare Krishna movement, not cooperate with the devotees so we can eat and sleep better. Of course, that is also nice, to have nice cooperate in serving the deities, cooperate in that way, but also cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness, Parash Brahm, between ourselves and between people who are innocent. And at the same time, to see who's superior to me in different ways, and to take lessons from them so I could also advance by taking instructions from them, either by their example or their instructions. Who's more advanced in undeviated devotional service? Who has more appreciation for me? Who has less critical, unnecessarily, less materially critical? Take lessons from them and appreciate their activities so I can come up to the same level they're on, at least. And take an example from our acharyas, those who are the most advanced in undeviated devotional service, whose hearts are devoid of the propensity to criticize others. And see the examples within our society of those who are following the acharyas and how they're exemplifying these qualities also. See them as manifestation of Krishna's mercy, of Krishna's energies in that way. So that takes training. That takes training, how to see those things, and it takes knowledge, intelligence, how to be trained by those who are actually qualified to train us in different ways. Then we can advance in devotional service, and at the same time we have to learn how to avoid all our previous training. Because we've all been trained, we all have our mahajans, Mahajana yena katasapanta, Mahajano yena katas, Dharma, Everyone has their Mahajans, whether we're conscious of it or not. We've been trained by so many leaders, as we heard that example from Prabhupada, that if you go to a certain violin school in Austria, the first thing they ask you is, how many years have you been trained in violin? And if you tell them, I've been trained in 10 years, I've been practicing, and then they charge you twice as much. Because they know it's going to take some time to help you forget all the things that you've learned before they could properly train you. So we've already been trained in so many different ways, and now we have to forget all these different things that we've learned, so-called learn, in the modes of material nature. All the heroes we have, all the objectives we have, all the expertise we think we have, all these things we take credit for, and we have to be properly trained. So, on one side, we're being explained the nonsense that's going on through our minds, in our consciousness, the nonsense habits we have, and naturally we become disturbed that these are the things I work so hard to acquire, and he's calling them nonsense. He's probably envious. He doesn't have them himself, so therefore he's disqualifying everyone else. So that's our natural tendency to react. We have to learn that discrimination to understand the problems with our material consciousness and where they lie, how we're following them consciously or unconsciously. Therefore, there's cutting. Sadhu is cutting. Cut out these material attachments. And the other side, we need the positive enforcement of appreciating and being trained how to follow in the footsteps of not only the great acharyas, but even those who are following the great acharyas. And unless that appreciation is there, our devotional service is very slow, if at all, of progressing. Therefore, it's dasa, dasa, anudasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say, I'm the servant of the gopis alone. No. Gopi bharata pada kamalayor, dasa, dasa, anudasa. That the more we become the servant of the servant of the servant, which includes everyone here also. It's not that we draw the line, here it ends. No, the more we become the servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna, then the more we become advanced in devotional service. So even the great servants, they teach us how to become servants, even the lesser servants, all the way down. And if we're willing to be trained like that, to feel ourselves be the servants of eventually, as Prabhupada was giving his lecture in Stockholm, and he was describing about there are four classes of men, and the lowest is the Shudra, and then you have the Vaishya, and the Kshatriya, and the Brahmin. And one man raised his hand, and he said, oh, I guess you think you're the Brahmin, right? Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm fifth class. I'm the servant of everyone. Mm-hmm. So that humility is not simply to bow, put our hands together and bow down. It's actually to do practical service to help others become Krishna conscious, to actually be their servants. That's real humility. And in order to do that, we have to take shelter of the acharyas. We have to take shelter of the instructions. The acharyas show us the best example, but others show us examples too, because they follow the acharyas. But we have to take shelter of the teachings coming down through our disciples' succession. And the more we take shelter of those teachings, then the more we take shelter of Krishna and his representatives, then the more actually humility is being displayed. Not just by externally showing some humility, which is not bad, but real humility will be that we're actually absorbed completely in unselfish, undeviated service to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To everyone we meet, whoever living entity we come in contact with, chant Hare Krishna at least, or do whatever we can to help them become Krishna conscious. That's real Amadi Bham Nirgunadvat or Trinadapi Sunichena. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Just one question. This real humility can become problematic when dealing with materialistic people. So how do we understand how we deal
with humility? Well, same thing we deal with everyone. We deal with everyone as servants of our spiritual master in disciple succession, servants of the instructions coming down. So there's not like one cookie cutter formula for dealing with every situation. It means the more we read Prabhupada's books, the more we apply them in our lives, in the society of devotees, the more we become a servant of Krishna's servants, then the more we understand that in whatever circumstance we're under, we take shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and pray to the Super Soul to instruct us what part of the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra we have to take shelter of. And then we'll know what to do. And when we know what to do, then we can act. If we don't know what to do, then we don't do anything until we find out what to do. What we do is we investigate, humbly investigate Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra till the Super Soul is pleased with us and he gives us direct intelligence what to do. And when we know what to do, then we do it with determination and enthusiasm. Yes.
In the initial part of the class, you were talking about determination. And sometimes we see that our determination vacillates. Like sometimes we are very determined, and when we see a sadhana day, we are well in terms of reading, hearing, chanting, or doing the right things which are favorable for Krishna consciousness. But at other times, the determination is not so strong, and then we really are not on top of our sadhana, and we see wavering. So, how do we that consistency in our determination to control the mind and
do
the right things which are
available? Oh, there's so many things we can do. One thing we can do is keep on going, in spite of the fact our mind's telling us not to. The other thing we can do is find out why I'm feeling like that. In other words, we can observe our activities during the day, how we can improve. Maybe we can improve our schedule. Maybe we can improve our eating, how we eat, what we eat, when we eat. Maybe we can improve how we sleep, how much we read, so many different things. So we can see where there is improvement and where we accept things that are favorable, and where we have to give up with things that are unfavorable. And then we can see how it affects our determination, our enthusiasm, our understanding ultimately. The more realizations, the more Krishna is pleased with us, the more we become realized in Krishna consciousness, then our determination will grow. But that will depend upon, as Krishna says, how much consistently and how much enthusiastically we're engaged in devotional service. And that will depend upon how much we're associating with the devotees and hearing about their realizations and applying them within our lives, trying to become inspired to apply within our lives. And that will depend upon how much we're convinced that my goal of life is to realize how wonderful Krishna is to become Krishna conscious. So we have to think about how much I really want to dedicate myself to Krishna, to realizing Krishna consciousness. And when we have that determination and the other things, then I'll associate more carefully, more consistently with the devotees, learn from them about their realizations, apply them in my life, so I can become more consistently, more enthusiastically engaged in Krishna's service, and then the realizations will come. Krishna will give me more intelligence. He'll purify my heart. And then my determination, my enthusiasm will also grow. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.